Chapter 10. Just as a red-tailed hawk on a blustery day will squawkless tilt and flay in the swift-blowing wind so very, very slow as if rescinding no flight, and then abruptly gets caught and snagged by gale, subtly no more the tail-named bird of prey volleys swift about, like a jet aircraft, follies to get but fun to have, will do a turn and get pulled push side through, the birds do mushed against the ground below, being without airplane's engine, but no. Maintains its height flight with a flick of its majestic wings and sticks to circling, flings the wind at the wind by circles broad, slow flying. But in its fly-buying, it is ever in state of closeness with being tossed fate-like, foreseeing never another pickup of the wind and yet another tickling met well with the gusts, so close to all falling down and yet closer to make land of sky in near-perfect graceful flight. Or, just as those ever-pecked topaz-eyed birds, two of those ravens, or crows, lofting with toes and wings, softing the wheeling, slow-feeling descent, the two known for double-dealing, at core themselves both doubling, but their own winding flight, bubbling up of dark night in observers, not their eyes. And so they falter, as weight of hair haltered not of a horse's tail, in their haphaz winging, so sail in the ringing hands of the wind, and each to each other's motions. No need to preach, lotions religical unyearned, and almost, but almost, could earn the finest roast from the finest geese, so they, almost, followed one another's flow through sun-wind rays, or so almost seemed like the jelly on toast seems to bellies and mouths unacquainted with jelly and butter's taste. Unsainted sputter-birds, then, are these two crows, in a permanent flux, so hosed by aqueducts of wind, unsure whether to flock like the goose or to ride feather-like, soar without flapping, flapping, flapping. Whatever, no clapping will they e'er know. Whatever their movement, their form will be such to ask behoovement of through and through pariah stance. But still they float between a dance or a machine, neither one nor other. Or, like a blue heron, and our druthers, stare in its majestic blue span of wing, and it could be real or canned fantasy deal, it is so beautiful. But we won't know, as flies it away, full of tries and guesses about its exact stance. So remains in fits fancy and plain dealing, in terms of thoughts for, after, and during, never once caught, spurring a constant almostness, real, imagined, flying, and ne'er tressed, neither touch land, or just like architects with their tools and their trade, I don't protect, tirade this holds for writers too, their terra fiction of the new viand above all, how they do attempt to make buildings Roman, but always kempt it in contemporary, some little small device carries the building thrice forward in time, such that it almost could complete be antiquitate, but some thing keeps it here. Or as before snow first hits the ground in no ember time, and dark clouds above float down fine rain. Ice so surrounds the plain droplets that it's close snow, but the drop and feel lets out no solidity. Nets so icy, but inside all springs do. So near to winter's white hide, just few degrees colder, and walls and men of snow were there. Snowballs but for the care of late fall season. Or, just as in far away deep winter's core, where stray none living above ground, and the howl of cutting wind bounds the unjutting flatness of snowy land, and the wind blows snowy white, and the bands, doughy and sharp, of specks abound, and the sound pierces through, the sound and feel of new coldness, cutting where old coldness was, and whistles and breezes, bold, thistle-less ground, and there you lie, stretched flat on the soft earth, and flies over its girth the white slicing. You, like a kid, though old enough and not a tyke, feel fluff upon fluff of brunette, red, blonde, or what have you hair, except for one that's new, but blonder than the rest. But no, not blonde, but gray, amongst the best of hay. And this sign of oldness amidst the youthish curls, boldness like a flag furled, its youth approximate now, almost, and still, yet, and so stand it. You get it into your head, there where nothingness surrounds, face bare like land, no mounds in the distance, whiteness, and you take off glasses of the eyes, jesting is lost. For even though none you wear, still pair after pair, one you remove, turn down in the snow next you, and continue the mime, looking up to the time-cast sky, and seems more clear than before, and so each is clearer, and each niche more refined as each fake opticality's gone, and one needs rake the lawn of all the eyewear next you. But 'tis the same view, same text, and yet is new. But newness is so close to oldness that seems old. New comatose, but bold comatosity. So it is almost really, but no, not quite. Nearly just so as like similar. Or just as ocean waves, no ship's prim, turvy saves no craft from a rocking, but the tides always flowing, talking nor not knowing will not stop it, but flux rules, and everything that's nautical, ducks too, pats that constant stir of white pepper when settling down. Day, night, no touching down, constant almostness state when touching the wave top, never abates, no stops along the way, but froth and bubbles fluidity keeps broth a-stirring free, and all the quasi-formed forms which would, given time, emerge deformed sublime-like into the waves, but still they are so close they pave tracks through the hose always running, giving an idea, but not, perhaps sieving forgot in the paper kingdom in which origami makes mum of all mommies, also else everything in the whole universe. But nothing, nothing. A verse too terse to curse, so must be hallowed, or almost like rusted, as a toast, but yet almost. And so, like above and before all of these pro-priors, so was Flaylin McDrab's pants zipper almost zipped all the way, and yet nope, as fairy slipper's length was left ope. So he strut, zipped up tight, but not quite.